Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Thursday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber. Futures basically flat on this first full day of the Biden White House as the one-year anniversary happens today of the first documented COVID case in the U.S. Lots of earnings and macro data, including jobless claims, 900K. Our roadmap begins with the Biden agenda and investor sentiment. Wall Street set to try to extend its record rally at the open.
Plus, COVID deaths hitting a new record. It is 1 year, as Carl said, since the first confirmed case here in the U.S. A look at how the new administration hopes to contain this pandemic. And the top S&P performer so far this year, well, if you were watching yesterday, you know, it's General Motors. It's up 36% so far. And the month of January is not even over. We're going to break down what has been behind that rally, Carl. Even better than Tesla.
Yes. And Adam Jonas on Squawk with some interesting comments about the turnaround there. Jim, it's going to be a big day for policy as it pertains to COVID. We're expecting more executive orders and actions regarding vaccinations, testing, hospitals, new public dashboards. And Fauci will join the press briefing at 4 o'clock as he becomes the U.S.'s representative as we rejoin World Health Organization and COVAX.
Look, I think anyone who reads the president's 21-page white paper on how to handle the vaccine comes back and says, you know what, it's going to be a federal effort. And that is very different from what we have now. The federals will also pay for a lot of it. That's very different. So people aren't overburdened. There's going to be tremendous accountability. There's obviously an emphasis on masks. There's not a contempt for public health officials who want to change the way we lead our lives. And I think there was a contempt before. And was it oblique? Someone, it was right in your face. Dr. Fauci, what will Dr. Fauci be like? Is he Prometheus Unbound? Perhaps. But without a doubt, when you read the policy paper, you realize something, Carl, that's incredible. There's a policy.
Jim, does that mean the market is bracing for more restrictions, lockdowns, borders, limitations on economic activity, or is this about solving a larger problem and hopefully coming out brighter on the other side?
I think it's the latter, Carl. I would point out that the great question mark in this country is, do you take the vaccine? And if you want to, can you get it? So two question marks. This white paper and President Biden's view are about solving those two questions. And if you solve those two questions, then you're going to have more economic activity rather than less. Again, I want to talk about the idea warp speed worked, but what didn't work was the this incredible morass about getting the vaccines to you. And also, of course, the idea of do we have J&J, do we not? There is absolutely under President Trump, there was something that almost no one understood. David, I like the idea that there's even public-private partnership. But it's the attitude, David. It's the attitude that maybe we need to be bow down to the disease a little more in order to beat it. How about that?
Jim, was there a plan? Was there really a plan for distribution?
What, under President Trump?
Correct.
Well, there were multiple plans, and that meant that there were no plans. There was no plan. I mean, it was supposed to be CVS, supposed to be Walgreens, public health officials, public-private partnership.
Military.
States, military, the Federal Express. You know, it's all a fiasco, but everyone was afraid to say anything because I think they so feared President Trump they couldn't come out. Maybe even Dr. Fauci did. I mean, there was just this amazing, David, incredible desire to not be fingered on Twitter, to not be ridiculed by the president of the United States, to not come out and tell what I regard as being the unvarnished truth, because, David, the retribution was so great that almost any of the 330 million Americans could handle. No one could handle that man's, let's say, his revenge. And so it became kind of like, I don't want to be tagged. I don't want to be your it. And I think there are a lot of people who now will come out and admit that the vials were lost, that that the vials went bad, that the vials are here. But before that, David, why would you ever take your reputation at hand? How do you know that you wouldn't be tweeted at and destroyed? Why not?
Yeah.
Why take the chance, David?
I guess, no, listen, there are plenty who wouldn't or didn't. There are others, obviously, who weathered the storm well.
Who's that?
I think Jeff Bezos did fine over the last 4 years, even though he was tweeted at many times.
Bezos did.
Yeah. I mean, now, arguably one of the more powerful men in the country.
Second richest man, maybe that, you know, he doesn't play for dinner, that fellow.
No, he does not. He does not. He just kept going.
But, you know, some people like that, David. Some people like a strong president who can destroy people at the...
Well, strength is defined in different ways, isn't it? It's not clear to me that that's strong in the way that I think about strong, or you do.
No.
But
the president didn't like the fact that my show was up against his briefings.
But, Carl, we are obviously in a Biden administration now, and they still have that goal of 100 million people vaccinated in 100 days. And we're starting the countdown. Today is day one or day two. I don't know. Did they start it yesterday? Maybe yesterday. And so they got to ramp up fast. There's no doubt about that. And they're facing shortages in places like our own city of New York, where they're going to stop, right? 22,000 people who are scheduled to be vaccinated are not going to be because they don't have the vaccine.
Yeah,
it's true.
Have we heard from Pfizer? Pfizer has them. Pfizer has them. Moderna has them. They all got them. It's just this kind of strange bottleneck, Carl, where the federal to state to... I mean, right now, if you're in New Jersey, it's the Union County Public Health Department that's in charge. And I challenge anyone to get them on the phone and tell us exactly where we can get the vaccine. How did that happen? I mean, I would go to them as an inn owner to say, do I meet the public health requirements of owning the inn? In New York, I would ask the public health department whether my restaurants are clean enough. But the idea that they're in charge, I mean, been asked to do, Carl, they've been asked to do miracles. It's not fair.
Yeah. Well, there's a growing sense, I think, this morning, Jim, that the prior administration really focused on the fact that a vaccine had been developed, period, and that they left open the question of how they were going to actually get it into arms. By the way, I want to talk about Amazon because they play into this to some degree, as we now know. But Fauci early this morning did talk about the United States rejoining the multilateral effort, multi-country effort to accelerate the distribution of vaccine. Here's what he said.
The United States plans to work multilaterally to respond to and recover from the COVID-19 pandemic. President Biden will issue a directive later today, which will include the intent of the United States to join COVAX and support the ACT Accelerator to advance multilateral efforts for COVID-19 vaccine, therapeutic, and diagnostic distribution, equitable access, and research and development.
By the way, his appearance today with Jen Psaki at the press briefing, Jim, will be his first since November 22nd. So I guess we read this as a market positive.
November 22nd was pretty much when it ended, when you knew that there's a vaccine, but the president kind of, you know, that's when they shunted it off. It's not clear whether the president was really involved day to day once he lost, the country thought he lost. But Dr. Fauci's being Dr. Fauci. That's the Dr. Fauci I know who conquered AIDS and had a game plan. And it's very interesting just to hear him. It's kind of, I find it refreshing, David. The top health official talking, right?
Right.
I find it refreshing, David.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. I am seeing here on Twitter that we're averaging close to a million vaccines a day for the last 5 days. So I want to keep a close eye on that. Jim, while you were talking about this, of course, we brought up your COVID index.
Yeah.
Love to get back to stocks here. You know, all that we're talking about here, does that continue to run? As we get to a million a day, as we potentially get to 100 million in 100 days, Do you have to change either the composition of that, or do you start to say, all right, it's time to take some money out?
Absolutely. The stay-at-home part of the index will drop off. Witness, what happened with Proctor yesterday. Then there's just this kind of secular gain. I mean, is Zoom going to drop off? Zoom's going to accelerate.
Right.
DocuSign going to drop? DocuSign accelerates. I mean, a lot of these companies have been shown to be much better ways to do business. In the same way that when you listen to these CEOs, it's very funny. They don't want to say, look, we make a lot more money if people don't go anywhere, because they're all afraid that maybe one company, David, will make a sales trip while they do a Zoom trip. But I think that Zoom keeps innovating. Some of the companies in that index just keep, Teladoc just keeps innovating. Netflix. I mean, did you watch or listen to that call, David?
I did.
And did you start watching Lupin? I mean, what did you do?
We haven't started watching Lupin yet, but I think we will.
Don't you find that his conference calls really tells you what to do?
Yes.
I find when I listen to it, Carl, this is very true. When I listen to it,
Netflix now, by the way, not Zoom. Netflix, by the way, which was up, 15, 16% by the end of the day?
That's okay. Yeah. I mean, Carl, I find that when I listen to Reed, I realized, so you did the gambit and you did that one, that my wife binged on this weekend so I could watch football.
I don't know which one.
Bridgerton.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. My wife and daughter went nuts with that one.
Well, that allowed me to watch the Bills game. Yeah.
Me too. I was able to go in the other room.
The Chiefs game.
I know.
But thank you, Reed, for dropping that so the guys can watch football. It's gender neutral. But, Carl, the conference
the screaming
call,
from the other
there's
room.
A lot of the conference call is about what you should watch. And I always find, I have discovered the wonder of subtitles, Carl. I used to think if it was subtitles, it was like the Umbrellas or Cherbourg. Get that the hell out. Now, that's for reference to, you're probably, David, you were not even in the womb. But you get, Carl, that is a conference call that just says, you know what, go bring it on. Here's what we're bringing. And I find that I go quarter to quarter. I listen, then I watch all the things he tells me in the quarter, and then when he does the next report, I get those the new movies, the new series.
Speaking on the flip side, Jim, you talk about people going places. United is a story today, wider than expected loss, revenue miss. Kirby on Squawk Box earlier this morning saying it's hard to give a forecast for break even because the cancellation rates are so elevated and demand is essentially flatlined. Here's what he said.
The good news is that regardless of what happens in the near term, we have real confidence in the long term and that there is a recovery, that there's a lot of pent-up demand for air travel. But until we can put, as a society, coronavirus in the rearview mirror, it's going to continue to be a tough environment for aviation, for everyone that's involved in travel, tourism, and leisure.
Cash burn at $33 million a day, Jim, is way above Delta's.
Yeah, I listened to that, and I just said, bring it on. Let's get a PCR test there. There's a company called Visby that you can get them instantly. Let's get he's hostage to. He's got a lot of international roots. He's hostage to the vaccine. And David, when I listen to Kirby, I just think, I look at the roots. I look where you have to go. I look where you might be next to someone who might have COVID, even though, of course, David, the airplanes are actually much safer
than
real lives. Yes,
we've learned that airplanes are not.
But most people haven't learned, or they think that the person next to them is going to fall over.
Well, listen, it also involves being in the airport. It also involves the possibility that somebody's not going to be wearing a mask. It also involves just the heightened tension of the entire trip itself, where if somebody is unmasked or takes it off. I mean, there's a lot of different things that go along with it, Jim, that don't necessarily mean you're going to get COVID, but that can be unpleasant at this point.
Yeah, well, I'm traveling, and I don't mind.
You don't mind?
Not at all. Safest place to be.
You traveling again soon?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Will you take me with you?
I'm going to Florida.
Really?
See my wife.
Can I come?
Yeah, my wife likes
you. Would you mind?
My wife likes Carly.
I really need
to
get away.
All right, come with me.
Okay, thank you.
It'll be like Squawk in the old days when Haynes would take us to Palm Beach.
Yeah, road trip. Oh, Carl, now you got me thinking. Remember Boca? Let's go to Boca.
How about Williamsburg?
I'll go there.
Really?
I'll go anywhere.
Your vacation starved, my friend.
Yes, I had to cancel our last one.
How about the Poconos?
Maybe not there.
Okay.
Guys, we'll take a break here as we make our travel plans during the commercial. We got a lot to get to, including, as we said, Adam Jonas from Morgan Stanley on GM's monster year so far. Amazon, of course, B of A names a top pick, goes to 4,000. There's a look at futures. We're back in a minute.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Top performing S&P name of the year so far, it's GM, up 34%, 35% given this morning's gains on the new electric vehicle and autonomous strategy. Morgan Stanley's Adam Jonas talked about it this morning on Squawk.
I'm just going to go out and say it. What Mary Barra and the team are doing at GM, and look, there's still room to go, but what they're doing may end up being one of the most profound strategic turnarounds, not just in the auto industry, but in business.
Jim, Ford's up 23, but obviously nowhere close to GM so far for 2021.
Look, I think that both of these are very different and very good. They're coming out hot. GM is really a story of Mary Barra spending far more money and time than people realize on electric vehicles. We have SPACs that are worth almost as much as GM that are, just have like a battery. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Unlocking a lot of value. Don't forget also China. Ford, I think, is very interesting for a different reason. Jim Farley is getting out of the business of making cars in places that they didn't make any money. Brazil, they're still selling trucks. They're just not making them anymore. Big cash charges that previous administrations at Ford have refused to take. He's swallowing the medicine everywhere. They got an electrified F-150 coming out not that far from now. They have what I regard as being the hottest truck in the world right now, which is the Bronco. They can't make enough. And I think that Farley is uniquely challenged by the semiconductor shortage, given the fact that they have so much demand. These, David, Ford and GM are not Tesla, but they're not as bad as people think.
No, and then to your point, I mean, there are a lot of industrial products right now as well that have very low inventories, which people believe will keep prices fairly high overall. And I'm not just talking about vehicle sales and
cars
more broadly.
And houses. There's just very little. It's almost as if, Carl, what happened is a lot of companies thought that this was that the shutdown was going to last longer. A lot of companies felt that the country was going to be, this is the K recovery versus the U, that we'd have a U recovery or a V or a W, but it turned out to be K. The people who have jobs are doing incredibly well and they're getting even more money, thank you, federal government. And the people who don't are buying used cars. You got to have a used car in order to be able to go to your job. So both are doing well. CarMax was, thank you, Brian Sullivan, for showing us this. It was number three best performer this year. Occidental, in a major turnaround that is shocking to some of us, is also doing well. But GM is a star, and Mary Barra is a star, and is getting the plaudits that she really does deserve.
Yeah, it's been an amazing run of news between the new vehicles, the Microsoft investment in Cruise, and a lot more. We'll get to some of the upgrades this morning as well that we've got on Fastly, PayPal, Under Armour's in there as well, plus Cramer's Mad Dash in a minute.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Welcome back. Let's get to a Mad Dash before we count you down to the opening bell. As you see, about 7 minutes or so from now, Amazon is the feature.
Bank of America has what I regard as a backhanded compliment, damning with faint praise, saying tougher comps ahead, but still the one to own. Slower growth in second quarter, but still the one to own. Spent a huge amount of money on COVID, still the one to own. David, when I look at this, I feel like it's like I should sell Amazon. But you know what? Amazon is still the king. And don't forget, the consumer person said, listen, I'll get involved with that. You know, public-private partnership.
Yeah.
distributing the vaccine. That'd be great. A lot of people are saying, well, the vaccine distribution is going really well. I think that it's not done very evenly.
No, although people are pointing out on Twitter, we are hitting an average of about 900,000 a day. So not far off a million or maybe even close
well,
to a million.
I mean, so when if we do the 100 million, when do we get that using that policy?
Yeah. But as for Amazon, and interesting, of course, what they did with Parler, remember, kicking him off AWS in terms of the power
of
that
advertising platform. Is the secret here.
And well, you've been saying that such forever. Incredibly high margins.
Right.
Even if you don't have a huge dollar number, the profitability of it, as with AWS, is enormous. And, of course, those businesses are far more profitable than the main business, which is still selling stuff and bringing it to people's homes.
But they're talking about pricing pressure in cloud. Again, Amazon Web Services has absorbed something like 50 price cuts, and it is still very successful. Now, what is Bank of America really trying to do here? I think it's a lowball best of show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not unlike, let's say you put out Netflix, okay, and you said it's going to be good, and then it comes out great. I think this piece allows you to have a bar that Amazon can crush. And they spent so much money.
They spent so much money last year,
on
though.
COVID expenses.
Many billions. And, of course, then we've also talked about the incredible hiring that they did in 2020. I mean, those numbers were, we've never seen anything like that for one corporation.
And you add my COVID index up. Amazon is a company that will do better now because they spent a fortune when they had to.
Right. All right. We got an opening bell a few minutes away. Stay with us. A lot more Squawk on the Street.
Keep your eye on Apple today, along with Amazon. Morgan Stanley's Katie Huberty, Jim, says the 12 is tracking ahead, looking for a record quarter in December. 5% above consensus on earnings, and bull case 200, their target's 152.
That was such a good report. Remember, she does always have the inside track, I find. And one of the things I really liked about it is she's talking about you're getting a kind of a lowball. She's saying solid but not great December results. That's what I want to see. I want to see everything tempered, and that allows them to do well. They got a 5 to 7% ahead of the consensus. Obviously, you're talking about just a huge number of phones being sold, wearables. I mean, people are talking about the glasses, too. I think that that's dross. But when Katie Huberty goes in and gives her that price target and raises it, she takes her price target so seriously. Right? We should all tell people at home. Most of these people just like it's like throwing darts on price targets. She goes from 144 to 152, and I think that was just incredible. Tony Saganegi again dragged in to say something positive. He's got a hold on. He's over at Bernstein. And David, I just want to point, Tony, super nice.
Uh-oh. You niced him?
No, I super niced him.
You super niced him.
Yeah, I didn't just nice him. Hey, look, it'll be on Scott Wapner. I'll have him on. You'll see how nice he is.
He's also very smart and rigorous.
I've known Tony forever.
Yeah, of course.
He's very good, and he does quality work, but oftentimes may reach a different conclusion. The finest work, but a different conclusion. And I respect it. I just want his work.
Right.
I don't want his price target. Where you know, I want his work. Carl, that's what's important with Tony Saganegi, his work.
Yeah. Yeah, his view this morning is a little more tempered.
Yeah.
Katie's note, though, Jim, interesting. You know, there's this growing sense that, well, consumers upgraded during the year last year. They're not going to do it again. Her survey indicates intentions on electronics and PCs, accessories at large, are still at nine-month highs at the end of the year.
Yeah,
so that'll be interesting.
We're still working at home, and I think it's going to be a hybrid strategy. Many people are going to adopt the hybrid strategy. The Huawei weakness is important. A shout-out, David, to Peter Navarro, who worked in the previous administration. He was instrumental in crippling Huawei, David.
Mm.
Peter Navarro.
You got to say it twice?
Well, I got him on speed dial.
Yeah, I think you can delete that.
Really? You would take that out of the speed dial?
I would. That would be my advice.
Wait, it's under P.
You should have done it a while ago.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't have you on speed dial. I got him.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a little surprising to me as well. You've managed to find
I've actually never spoken to Peter Navarro.
I don't believe that either.
Since I was next to you and talking.
By the way, you used to talk about Kodak as a Navarro SPAC.
That was a Navarro SPAC.
Always got a laugh out of
other
me.
SPACs.
Always. That one was funny.
Oh, I know Navarro for 40 years.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, as for SPACs, They continue, guys, at a record pace, a pace that we've really never seen anything like it, contributing fees across Wall Street, giving hedge funds all sorts of trading opportunities. Many who perhaps are in the event-driven area now focusing on SPACs because of the opportunity they provide. If you want to buy the warrants,
yeah,
or, you know, there's so many different trading way opportunities, and then obviously some can go in on these pipes. You know that this far, so far in 2021, we've had 59 SPAC offerings. 59 in, what are we, day 21 of the month? There's the CNBC SPAC 50. I've got to talk to you about what that measures.
SPAC 50.
Yeah. Take it down. But 59 so far. And 2019, we had 59 in total. That just gives you a sense as to where we are. Less than a month into the year, 59 SPACs. By the way, thanks to our friends at SPAC Analytics.
Just SPAC Analytics.
Just yesterday. Yeah. Fifth Wall, $250 million. Crescent Cove, $200 million. Gores, 7. Gores is up to 7.
Gores has got a lot going.
Now, they started in 2015. There it is, 59 so far. G-Squared Ascend. Kensington 2. You'll notice a lot of them. Fusion 2. Cyan 2. Altamar 2. A lot of them are on 2, 3, 4. You heard
Sternlicht
this morning. He's on Jaws
3.
And, you know, Andrew and the gang were talking to Barry about SPACs. This is a guy who's sponsoring them, obviously, but he did have some words that at least should bring caution to those who are looking at the sector. Take a listen to Mr. Sternlicht.
I'm just watching and astonished. You know, companies that I passed on for $5 billion trading at $20 billion market caps with 1% gross margins and completely undefendable businesses with new competitors taking their lunch.
That doesn't sound great, does it, Jim?
No, but look, it's a free-for-all. We've never seen anything like it. The projections, you're allowed to make whatever you want. The government isn't going to rein them in. It's a new way to come public that doesn't have any sort of scrutiny whatsoever.
Well, it's got some scrutiny from the existing shareholders.
But
to your
worked.
Point, the SPAC is the one that files, obviously, to go public. It's a blank check company.
Right.
And then when they buy the other company, that's their agreement. And so the disclosure requirements are not quite as strong in terms of at least putting out projections that you are bound to.
We have very little Wall Street research on these. Now, you could say Wall Street research is just a canard and these people don't know anything. But, I mean, for instance, Utz, which is a potato chip company. They have done remarkably. They've made a couple acquisitions. They are a followed stock. There are ways you can be able to analyze it. I like that. I find it very hard to analyze. What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. Continue.
I find it very hard to analyze a lot of these companies because what they tell you is they're going to do fabulously. And I almost like the way that the SEC wants you to do is put out some numbers, but not tell you they're going to do fabulously. I mean, I don't know, but if you bought a lot of these at 10, you're making some money. You know,
yeah, even before a lot of them announced their deals, Carl, many of them go up, which is somewhat questionable, as we pointed out, the likes of CCIV, for example, on rumors of deals. But we got more coming. In fact, we'll have more next week, I know. Every day is a new pricing, and then companies announcing their deals. Mr. Stern looked amongst them, despite the fact that he seems somewhat skeptical of some of the other deals he's seeing out there.
Well, Carl, my lightning round and mad money, it has become, I am working, I didn't go to sleep Monday night, but it's okay. A lot of times I don't go to sleep. And I just did nothing but SPACs, just so that, like, I'm ready in the lightning round. I mean, it is hard. You know, when you're doing readings about SPACs between 1 and 3 a.m. and it's Kensington and Churchill, you start thinking, wait, hold it. Like, what's the point here? But the viewers love these, and they're all, you know, they just love SPACs. So what are you going to do? Just say, hey, listen, I don't know that one. You got to learn it. Blank check. You can't just say blank check. That doesn't mean anything. I left the blank check for my painter. That was good. I've known the guy for a long time.
Just let me know what I owe you. Yeah, Jim, it's a whole nother library of tickers to learn. Travelers is adding a lot to the Dow, Jim. By the way, we got a record high on the Dow and a record high on the NASDAQ. But Travelers blows it out, 491, well above 318. Record 8.4% jump in renewal premiums, lower catastrophe claims. It's not often you see TVL or TRV lead the Dow.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like they do better in a COVID environment. I don't have to pay as much to different people. Travelers is back. I like what the company's doing right now, and I do think that people are bored by insurers. They want something that they can be, it's more accessible. They don't want to learn what a combined ratio is. But I know Travelers as being the company that has always been an amazing underwriter. And David, when you're an amazing underwriter, you don't make a lot of mistakes. And that's what Travelers, they do not make a lot of mistakes. They will not write where they're going to lose money.
Right. They'll move out of a business.
Yes.
Or they'll price it to an extent that they don't get the business, right, which they don't want.
Have you ever used them?
I have. I remember using them for car insurance at one point, and then suddenly it became unaffordable. It's because they didn't want to write it anymore.
Right. Well, because they actually they knew the actual zip code and building
right.
that Bar San Miguel was in when I wanted my workers' comp. Carl, they're an amazing company. I'm glad they're getting some reward for it, even if it's as boring as, geez, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something. Bridgerton?
What about Bridgerton?
I'm trying to figure out the analogy to travel, Travelers. No,
Bridgerton seemed very exciting, judging from the laughing and screaming that was going on in the other room.
Was it a SPAC?
It's not a SPAC yet.
SPAC.
Although she could probably do a SPAC, right, Carl? The lady at Netflix, that was one of her shows.
Shonda Rhimes?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have the Queen's Gambit spec?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I mean, it's definitely some validation of the big money deals that Netflix was handing out.
Oh,
it's definitely
yes.
gotten some legs. Travelers leads the S&P, Jim, right underneath his Under Armour as Deutsche goes to buy 22 Target, basically saying they've done a complete reset on costs.
Right.
And they see margins maybe up 40% from 2019.
When I read that upgrade, I said to myself, here's what's going on. Under Armour, not as bad as they used to be. I mean, the reset's fine. They've got Steph Curry. Look, this group is starting to come alive. PVH is one of the best performers in the last quarter. They like, people call it Capri, but Capri. People call it both ways, but it's really Capri. And then I've got to tell you, Carl, they are seeing that there is a major resurgence in these apparel companies. And I know when you take a look at Kohl's has really come on very strong, and they're using a lot of these branded apparel companies. They also got Sephora. Kohl's got some positive numbers today. I'm looking at these also-ran retailers that are becoming less and less also-ran. Look at that Kohl's chart. I mean, that's really good. When they got Sephora, remember JCPenney had Sephora. That was a very big deal. I mean, Target went with Ulta.
You were down on Kohl's for quite some time.
Well, because they missed quarter after quarter.
Yeah, you were.
Well, then they did well. What?
Searcher, what's working now?
Well, wait, okay, so I'm going to stay negative when
no,
they start doing well?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just pointing out. I missed when you got positive.
Well, when it reopened.
No, when it reopened.
No, that's not fair. The last quarter was very good.
It was good. I know.
And, look, I'm not going to take that.
Some of these, you saw the Limited's performance last year.
L Brands?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Sorry, L Brands, excuse me.
L Brands,
thank you.
Amazing. And that is because Bath and Body Works, people want to be clean in a pandemic, David.
Yeah. After the Sycamore deal.
You know, they
didn't
say
happen.
Wash your hands. That's an L Brands was wash your hands. I mean, they did better from public health than anybody. Remember, that was, I think, the central part of President Trump's strategy.
Wash your hands.
Yeah.
Well, with the new more transmissible strain out there, continue to wash your hands.
Do you know how you get that? You get it from other people. I know.
I know. You get it in the air. But
aerosol.
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 Apparently, the new, more transmissible strain, I don't know, you can get it more easily.
Well, that's why I had Gritstone on last night. They've got a possible vaccine for the new transmissible, and I think it's very real. You need it. They're like the Moderna for a different...
I want to start thinking about all these mutations. Can we talk a little Corteva, Jim? We talked about it off camera a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Starboard Value, nominating 8 directors. We had Jeff Smith on, of course, of Starboard when they initiated this position, or at least announced publicly that they had the position. He actually joined us on air at the time. Puts a letter out this morning, taking aim at the CEO in particular. Let me read you a quick excerpt from it. While we've enjoyed our growing personal relationship with the board members willing to engage with us, idle talk without results or action no longer acceptable. After months of dialogue, we remain unsure as to why the board retains conviction in current leadership. And have grown increasingly worried that the board's aversion to leadership change is symptomatic of a broader preference for comfort and the status quo. In particular, we've had significant difficulty reconciling the board's affinity for Jim Collins with his public track record in leadership positions. So they're after Mr. Collins. But by the way, It's a fairly extensive slate, as you might imagine. And some names that, you know, we know. This guy, James Gallagly, remember him when he was at DuPont?
He was a driver.
Yeah. CEO of Lyondell Chemical.
Ellen Coleman brought him in. It was her undoing that she brought him in.
I remember that. That's right. But he's part of that. I mentioned Smith had joined us back in October when they publicly unveiled the position. Here's what he had to say at the time. By the way, it's been, as you see, a very good performer, but he continues to believe, I guess, that it can do even better. Take a listen.
I mean, in short, we think it's a great business. We think it's recession resistant, highly stable, and we actually think that there's wind at the back of the company as it relates to revenue for the next several years. There's an opportunity for margin improvement as they're the lowest in the space at about 14%. And we would say that they should be able to get to at least 23% in terms of operating margins.
So we got that getting ready to really get started in earnest.
All right. Can I just tell you, as much as I like Jeff Smith and he does high quality work, and yeah. I'm prefacing this by saying I've never come out against Starboard. I've always felt they've done the right thing. Even to the point where they had Rick Hill come on when they were doing the initial.
They've been very good in chips, but listen, Bristol Myers, I thought was ridiculous when he tried to stop that deal. That made no sense.
But look, Jim Collins. Okay, what has he done? Well, the stock's almost doubled. I regard that as positive. They've done well. They've been a little tracking corn, but they've done well. They've weathered two of the worst ag years on record. And when I went over FMC, which is the comp, David, they just pre-announced a really bad number. FMC is the comp. Let's look at the FMC. That's the comp. And I regard that as being what they should be shooting for. Now, if FMC is a 7% organic and Collins has a 1% below that. But I don't know. I think that there's a lot of other guys to pick on, David. Other than Jim, Collins is good. He's good to great.
Jim Collins, of course, the authors who you're referring to, different Collins, but yeah.
I wish Jeff would pick on someone else.
Interesting, and you know what? You'll see. Shareholders are going to obviously have a voice here to decide that. But
I like his board.
You know, they go after a lot of directors.
The board he's put together is very good.
Yeah, when Starboard moves, as we of course remember from the Darden, that was unusual, of course, when they took over the entire board
and did great,
and it went up and went. Worked out fairly well, yeah.
We should go back to core.
Good.
Yeah, actually, we're going to check in with Bob as we get record highs on the Dow and the NASDAQ. Morning, Bob.
Record highs, but it's getting tougher to move the market forward. We've had quite a start to the year globally as well, and you'll see here it's flattish today, essentially. And the breadth was not good yesterday. NASDAQ breadth was not good given the big moves up that we saw. So it's getting narrow, and that's an indication that the market is having some trouble moving forward. Just take a look at the sectors today. Semiconductors have been the market leader today and throughout 2021, new highs every day on the big names there. Consumer discretionary also doing well. The banks have flattened out since earnings season came up, but that's not surprised there given the run-ups. Industrials have also flattened out in the last month or so. Consumer staples are going nowhere in 2021. They're down about 4% on the month. Utilities, another defensive group, not going anywhere. So here's the good news and bad news on everything. The good news is the markets are really roaring price-wise. We're up 15% since the election. The great triumvirate, I call it, of stimulus, vaccine rollout, and the reopening, the so-called reflation trade, as we call it. Those three factors pushing the markets to new highs. Here's the bad news. We're really stretched, folks. I mean, on every metric you want to look at, valuation, 22.5 times 2021 earnings for the S&P, that's really stretched. Sentiment, everybody's bullish, ridiculously bullish. Technicals are stretched as well. Let's not bore you with all the details. Suffice it to say, does this matter? Yeah, it matters because it means the market is really stretched. There's very little room for error. If anything goes wrong on that great triumvirate, the stimulus, the vaccine rollout, the reopening not going well, it's going to be a problem because we don't have any room for it to sort of be forgiven. So the good news here, fourth quarter earnings, we're off to a very good start. We've got about 55 companies that have reported so far. The good news here, and by the way, this includes companies that have a November ending quarter, 87% are beating. That's really high, but it's the percentage of the beat that matters, 19%. Remember the third quarter, we had about 20%. beats. They were beating by 20%. We need to see that again. The whole thesis is, oh, it doesn't matter if we're overstretched, is because the analysts are wrong. They're underestimating. The numbers are going to come up because they're going to beat the analyst estimates. They're too conservative. So far, the bulls are right on this. And this is one of the reasons the market has been holding up so well. We're continuing to get good beats, strong beats, and we need to have a lot of positive commentary on the first quarter and the second quarter. If that doesn't happen, it's going to pull back. Here's the bad news. Once we get the earnings reports, market's not doing much. The stocks aren't doing too much. Look at the bank stocks today. Some of those big names in the bank area really haven't moved at all today. And we've gotten some nice companies that are good, decent reports from Fifth Third, Key, M&T, really haven't done too much. The other thing I want to point out, finally, is that there is a global rally going on. And the S&P, the U.S., is actually lagging in terms of where the global markets are. China's been roaring for the last several weeks and really a couple months. South Korea, Japan, even Europe is generally outperforming the United States. This is the last few weeks. Also want to point out, David, emerging markets have been doing fabulous so far this year and really the last couple of months as the dollar has been weaker. You see, again, even outperforming the United States, and a lot of people have been arguing international is the place to be, David, in 2021. Remember, this is all out of dollar weakness. The dollar stopped going down in the last few weeks, and these haven't been performing as well, but that's really the key metric to keep an eye on, the strength of the dollar. David, back to you.
We'll do that. Bob, thank you. Bob Pisani. Well, still to come right here, Union Pacific is out with its quarterly results this morning, and as usual, the company's CEO will join us. We'll find out what he'd like to see from the new Biden administration. But before we head to break, let's give you a look at how treasuries are faring this morning in the bond report. Yields, as you see, relatively steady. Jobless claims come in at 900,000 last week. December housing starts were much stronger than expected. Over in Europe, by the way, the ECB leaving interest rates and its key bond buying program unchanged. President Christine Lagarde saying the Eurozone economy likely contracted in the fourth quarter, adding the ECB, quote, stands ready to adjust its tools if the economic situation does not improve. And we'll finish off with a look at how the euro is reacting to the ECB news. Of course, you heard Bob say the dollar has stopped its recent plunge, really, in some ways when you look back. But there's a look at the euro over, well, just the last couple of hours. We'll be right back.
Take a look at this piece from the FT on Seth Klarman comparing investors to frogs in boiling water, Jim. He says, with so much stimulus being deployed, trying to figure out if the economy's in recession is like trying to assess if you had a fever after you just took a large dose of aspirin.
Well, I guess it's also the scorpion and the frog. I mean, you get halfway there. Look, these comments, I have immense respect for Seth Klarman, but I often find that if you look back at what hedge fund managers have said, it's very different from what individual investors should be doing. And I'd say the vast majority of hedge fund managers have kept people out of one of the most amazing rallies I've ever seen. And it does not, it behooves them to start thinking, well, wait a second, investors aren't as stupid as you think. Is it 1999? I don't know. But I will say this, I'm tired of denigrating the individual investor. I'm in contact with far more of them than Seth Klarman. And I'm stunned and amazed at how much work they do and how well they've done. So I'm out of the game of trashing the little guy and the regular investor. David, they do so much work. They're trying so hard. And I really think that the market's going to hell thesis has made it so that people are in their chains. I am Marx and Engels when it comes to this stuff. Not Marty Engels, Marx and Engels.
Well, there's an awful lot of them. And so they are having a great impact on the overall market, and in particular names. And I think they do a good deal of research in some areas, and then others, there's very speculative nature
but
to it.
Let's stop denigrating the individual investor. They've done terrifically. I really resent it. Carl.
Yeah. We got highs at the open. Dow has gone negative, and the S&P down just about a point. Don't go away. Take a look at some of the S&P gainers. We talked about travelers, but check out some of the home builders in there as well, as housing starts up 5.8. We were only looking for 8/10, and that has Lennar and D.R. Horton vying for number 2 and 3. Back in a minute. time for Jim and Stop Trading.
There's a travesty going on. It's the reaction to Union Pacific stock after a perfectly good quarter. You'll be speaking to Lance Fritz. He's got tremendous efficiency gains. Remember, we are in an incredible COVID-induced slowdown. Let's not forget that. Who knows how well this company can do when things get started. My prediction is stock will be down, and then after Lance speaks, people start buying it, and it ends up going higher. Congratulations once again. He's quite a gent. I really like his work.
Yeah, volumes up in the green. First time since COVID began. We'll talk to Lance later on this morning, Jim. How about tonight?
Just be sure to ask him about ESG because he's more forward-looking than almost any CEO I talk to. Tonight, I've got Weed Map. I mean, people have been asking for both SPACs. I know David follows me closely on SPACs. And they also follow me on weed. That's right. People feel I'm too negative on cannabis. Give me a break. I have favored Canopy Growth. And then Rick Smith, now people might remember him for Taser. He's much more than that. It's an ecosystem, and it's been a fabulous stock, and he gets paid how well the stock does. I like that kind of incentive. I like this show. We covered a lot of ground, but the most important thing, once again, is read the president's white paper on the vaccine, and you'll sense that there is something called a policy, and it's a joy to have policy.
That's going to be a big theme for us, Jim, in the coming days, how this comes together. We'll see you tonight. Mad Money with Jim Cramer, 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.